to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 4th part, says, commentary by disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Isn't that wonderful that his students can carry on in such a wonderful manner? It's just incredible. Reading from the 10th canto, the 77th chapter, text number 1, 2, and 3. This is not my strong point. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Sa upas prisya salilang. Dham shito drita karmuka. Nayamam jumata parshvam. Virasyeti yaha saratim. Shukadev Goswami said, after refreshing himself with water and putting on his armor and picking up his bow, Lord Pradyumna told his driver, take me back to where that hero Juman is standing. So he's ready for it. So purport, Pradyumna was eager to rectify the discrepancy of his having left the battlefield when his chariot driver carried him away unconscious. Text number 2. Vidhamantam svasainyani jumantam rukmini sutta pratihatya pratya vidhyan narachārashtabhismayam. Translation: in Pradyumna's absence, Juman had been devastating his army. Yes, in Pradyumna's absence from the battlefield, Juman, who was Shalva's commander-in-chief, had been devastating his army, Pradyumna's army. But now Pradyumna counterattacked Juman, and smiling, isn't that something? And smiling, he pierced him with 8 Naracha arrows. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that Pradyumna challenged Juman, saying, Now see if you can strike me. And after saying this, and allowing Juman to shoot weapons, Pradyumna released his own deadly arrows. Chaturbish Chaturovahan. Sutam Ekena Chahanat. Dvabhyam danaschaketam cha. Share nanye nevaishira. Gentlemen. No gentlemen? Chaturbish chaturovahan. Sutame kena chahanat. Dvabhyam danaschaketam cha. Sharanayena vaishira. Please read the summary. Yes, thank you. Sutame kena chahanat. Dvabhyam danaschaketam cha. Sharanayena vaishira. Chaturbish chaturovahan. Suttam ekena chahanat. Dvabhyam danaschaketam cha. Sharananyena maishiraha. Mataji. Chaturbish chaturovahan. Sutam ekena chahanat. Dvabhyam danaschaketam cha. Sharananyena vaishira. Chaturbi. With four arrows. Chaturaha, four, vahan, carriers, sutam, the driver, ekena, with one, cha, and ahanat, he struck, dvabhyam, with two, danaha, the bow, cha, and ketam, the flag, cha, and sharena, with an arrow, anyena, another, by, indeed, shiraha, the head. Translation, with four of these arrows, he struck Juman's four horses, and with one arrow, he struck his driver, and with two more arrows, he struck his bow and chariot flag, and at last, and with the last arrow, Juman's head. Good. So, no purport. Now, I've omitted the chapter summary, which I should read at the beginning. This chapter, chapter 77, is entitled Lord Krishna Slays the Demon Shalva. Now, this chapter describes how Lord Sri Krishna disposed of Shalva, the master of deception, and the destroyer, and destroyed his airship, the Shobha. Having been removed from the battlefield, Pradyumna was extremely ashamed, and he ordered his driver to take his chariot once again into the presence of Juman. And as Pradyumna fought with Juman, other Yadu heroes like Gada, Satyaki, and Samba, they began also to create havoc among Shalva's army, and the battle continued in this way for 27 days and nights, no sleep. So when Lord Krishna returned to Dwarka, he was coming, I believe, from Hastinapur. Is that right? Right. He found his city under siege. He found Dwarka under, and as once he ordered Daruka, his driver, chariot driver, drive him into the battlefield. Suddenly Shalva noticed the Lord, and he threw his spear at Krishna's charioteer, but the Lord shattered the weapon into hundreds of pieces, and he pierced Shalva and his Shobha vehicle with numerous arrows. Shalva responded by shooting an arrow that struck Krishna's left arm. Amazingly, the Lord, he dropped the Sharanga bow that he was holding in his left hand, and the demigods, watching the battle, they cried out in alarm upon seeing Krishna's bow fall, while Shalva took the opportunity to insult Krishna. Lord Krishna then, he struck Shalva with his club, but the demon, vomiting blood, he disappeared. A moment later, a man came before Lord Krishna, and after offering him his obeisances, he introduced himself as a messenger from Mother Devaki. The man informed the Lord that his father, Vasudev, had been kidnapped by Shalva, and upon hearing this, Lord Krishna seemed to lament like an ordinary man. Shalva then led forward someone who looked just like Vasudev, and he decapitated him. And he took the head with him into his Shobha airship. Lord Krishna, however, could understand the magic tricks of Shalva, and thus he pierced Shalva with a shower of arrows, and he struck the Shobha vehicle with his club, demolishing it. Shalva descended from his airplane. He rushed towards Lord Krishna to attack him, but the Lord took up his Sudarshan disc, and he severed Shalva's head from his body. With the killing of Shalva, the demigods in the sky, they played kettle drums in jubilation. And the demon Dantavakra, he then took a vow to avenge his friend Shalva's death. So this is this is quite exciting. I always enjoyed first to read these kinds of stories more than the first part, because I didn't know much about Krishna, but then the action was very exciting. I could relate to Krishna in that way. Gradually, beginning to understand a little more about Krishna's beauty and Krishna's sweetness, Krishna's gentleness and generosity of heart, and his magnificence at the same time, and the role he's playing as the son of Mother Jashoda and the friend of the cowherd boys, etc., etc. I shouldn't say etc. Then I'm also now beginning to enjoy the first part of the 10th canto as well. So I made a few notes. You know, usually I just speak extemporaneously and people have to turn me off. But I will have some ideas because I'm going through a process of change in my life. Not menopause, but I'm going through a process of change in my life. I'm beginning to understand a few things, and I wanted to share that. Of course, we talk about what we have to hear, and that's what I want to do. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things I wanted to mention, if time allows. It's already 20 past. And the first thing I wanted to mention was this concept, in some you may have heard, some may you not have heard. It's called a spiritual bypass. I'll go into it a bit. And why? The second is, why so much focus on killing demons? Why are we reading so much about killing demons? And then when Chaitanya Charan was here, very recently, last week or so, he was talking about this concept of negative attribution. Maybe some of you remember and are familiar with this idea of negative attribution. And then I wanted to come back again on the positive side as how to advance in Krishna consciousness. And then I wanted to talk a little about kirtan. We'll see how far I go, or how far I go by the clock. So I made a few notes to put my thoughts together. So what is a spiritual bypass? What is a spiritual bypass? Well, we have two processes, right? We have the 9 prescribed forms of pure devotional service. And, you know, in my life, I've offended a lot of people. This is my sadhana, offending people. And I have two other aspects of my sadhana. They avoid me at the moment. What was that I was thinking this morning? Oh, to judge everyone I see, especially devotees. I can't think of the other one, but maybe it'll come back. So I practice very diligently. So people have told me, people who are close to me have said, Prabhu, you have some work to do on yourself. Actually, my first wife, she said to me, I'm growing and you're standing still. And if you don't come along, we're going to be going separate ways. And I just didn't have any clue of what she was talking about. But now I'm beginning to understand. It only took about 30, 40 years. Sometimes it takes time. She'd say things like, I'd say, I'm really angry about ABC. And she'd say, let it go. And I'd say, but I'm right. And she'd say, and is it making you happy? So the point is, very simple. Okay, we tend to hang on to things that are not serving us. So spiritual bypass means that I can do this process, chant Hare Krishna, come to the program, read, etc., etc. Do all the of Krishna consciousness, and don't tell me that I have to work on myself. Don't tell me that, because this process will take care of everything. Have you ever heard of that? I've heard it. I've even said it. I said it for 40 years. All I have to do is chant Hare Krishna. There's no need for introspection. There's no need to monitor myself. However, in the nectar of instruction, so spiritual bypass means that I don't deal with my mind. I don't deal with observing myself or monitoring myself, introspecting and trying to understand my own impurities. Just like one of the 6 Goswamis said, I tend to bathe myself in donkey urine. Have you ever heard that? It means that he's engaging his mind in processes that are defiling himself, in spite of the fact that he's a devotee. So he's taking note of this and saying, when will I stop pouring urine over my head while I'm chanting Hare Krishna? So there's some evidence that Vaishnavas are introspective. Here is from the Nectar of Instruction by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada in the preface by Srila Prabhupada, quote, in all spiritual affairs, one's first duty is to control his mind and senses. Unless one controls his mind and senses, one cannot make any advancement in spiritual life. Everyone within the material world is engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. These demons are like that. We'll come to that. One must promote himself to the platform of goodness, sattva gun, by following the instructions of Rupa Goswami, and then everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed In other words, as long as we're under the influence of the lower modes of nature, we won't understand the process. We won't be able to taste it. We won't be able to perceive it. We won't be able to dwell in it. We won't be able to focus on it. So therefore, we are encouraged to come to the mode of goodness, sattva gun, where we have clarity enough to understand the process and to see ourselves. Control of the mind. We have to become aware of the qualities within ourselves which hinder our progress, our growth in Krishna consciousness. For example, Srila Prabhupada has told a story you've all heard. There is a monkey. He has his hand in the narrow-necked bottle, and he's caught the nuts. He wants the nuts, but he wants to be free, but he doesn't want to let go of the nuts. What does that mean? It means I want to grow spiritually. I want to grow spiritually, but I don't want to let go of those things that I think are so nice, such as fault-finding and on and on. So, that is the monkey. So I have the monkey mind. This is my sadhana, as I said. So, but I'm beginning to understand that. That's the difference. For so many years, I was thinking, but I'm right. I have all the logic to back it up why I should find fault with every devotee. I can find fault with those who don't work enough and those who take on big responsibility. I can find fault with them. I can find fault with everybody. This is my sadhana, as I said. So we have to become aware of the qualities within ourselves which hinder our progress and our growth in Krishna consciousness. Oh, yes. And the donkey, Srila Prabhupada talks about the donkey who's standing in the stool pit. He's up to his neck in stool. I wouldn't say such a thing except that Srila Prabhupada has told the story. Now, he's eating the grass on the side of the pit, and the men come with their rope, and they're trying to pull him out. But he's digging in his feet because he's thinking, I'm enjoying this grass so much, and I will lose it if they take me out of the stool pit. So we have the stool. I'm not we. You are all Vaishnavas. I have a stool pit mind mentality, and I have all of these unsavory demeanors and judgments, etc. And I won't give them up. I think I'll lose something very sweet. Very sweet means that happiness. We're all trying to be happy, whether we're in goodness, passion, or ignorance. Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita that when I'm trying to be happy in the mode of ignorance, it's like poison in the beginning and poison in the end. The taste is rotten in the first place, and I'm seeing some fault somewhere, and it's making me feel more fault. And it's not pleasant at all. In mode of passion, it tastes really good in the beginning, and if you keep going, you get disgusted. In the mode of goodness, all of your impulses are benign. In the mode of goodness, all of our impulses are benign. They make us happy in the beginning and they create more happiness in our hearts. So we have to, therefore, as we read in the first part, that Srila Prabhupada is saying that we have to elevate ourselves from the propensities that are born or spontaneously spring from the lower modes. We're under the control. If we're under the control of those lower modes, we'll have those impulses to find fault, to criticize, to not to appreciate, not to glorify the devotees. Devotees are so rare. There are people who have come forward, and we're preaching. We want someone to come forward and understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he's beautiful, that he loves us, that he's our best friend. We want someone to accept it, and someone comes and accepts it, and I criticize him. I see that he's faulty. I see his faults. As Srila Prabhupada says, the bees are attracted to the honey, and the flies are attracted to the stool. So I have a fly-like mind. I would rather see the dirt. That comes up later. So then the next subject we wanted to talk about was why there's so much focus on demons lately. Krishna doesn't need to kill the demons personally. He can have the material energy, a volcano, earthquake, and without even noticing, he can have it. But he, on the one hand, he enjoys a good fight. Krishna likes that. And then also, understanding the qualities in ourselves that we have to overcome. The nuts that we have to let go of, like the monkey, and the stool pit that we are reluctant to leave behind. Understanding that, these are the demons in my mind, and we have to overcome them. I believe Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has done some analysis in that way, has explained that the demons represent certain qualities in ourselves that we have to overcome. We're reading about the demons, and Krishna is killing them, etc. But why so? So the mind can be a friend, Krishna explained. The mind can be our best friend, if it's in sattva guna at least. And the mind can be our worst enemy. Imagine we have a mind and it's our worst enemy. Why? Because it's counted. One of the, 10 offenses for chanting the holy name of Krishna? To blaspheme the devotees of the Lord, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out in Harinam Chintamani, this does not apply simply to the Mahabhagavatas, but to all our God brothers and God sisters. That we cannot, what does it mean, chanting the 10 offenses? It means that I cannot taste the nectar of the holy name. Why? Because I'm making offense to the holy name. The holy name is Krishna in sound form. It's Krishna in sound form. We're associating with Krishna in his form of sound. This is very abstract, and we're not used to thinking in this way, but this sound form is totally Krishna. And if we, as we grow, as we become offenseless, when we chant that vibration, we will feel a taste the qualities of Krishna. We will see, not only see the pastimes, like you have a DVD in your heart, like you have a monitor in your heart, come turns on. You can see the whole business of Vrindavan. Not only that, it's interactive. You can get into it. All of that is contained in the sound of Krishna's name. So, but I can't taste it. I can't taste it because I'm offensive. That's all that's in the way. So I have to wonder when I want to understand what's stopping me. I've been doing this for 47 years. Why am I not changing? Why am I not growing? Why am I not, my hairs stand on end when in Mangal Arati? Do I have goosebumps? Am my body trembling in ecstasy? So something's missing or something's wrong. So I says, there are offenses to the holy name. I'm not chanting offensively yet. That's me, not you. So I'm talking about this because this is on my mind, because I want to grow a little bit before I drop. There are things like Krishna explains. What a mode of passion? Lust. It burns like fire. It's never satisfied. The more you put on the fire, the bigger it gets. And this lust, it degrades then into great. They can't get satisfaction. They wrote a song. Who was that? The rolling whatever. I cannot get any satisfaction. The people who have every bit of fame and fortune and wealth in this material world and followers, and they cannot taste any satisfaction in life because theirs is a self. Lust simply means one thing. It's simply the desire to enjoy, independent of the understanding that the only way to be happy, the only way to be satisfied, the only way to feel fulfilled is by taking pleasure in Krishna's pleasure. And like the finger feeds the belly, it becomes nourished. This is our constitutional position. We've heard this so many times, that because we're part and parcel of Krishna, the part cannot enjoy independent. It has to serve the whole. Like the leaf on the tree that waters the root, it automatically gets filled up. So we're trying to enjoy it still independently. But this brings up the subject of negative attribution, Chaitanya Charana. What is negative attribution? The subject concerns the manner in which we see ourselves and we see others. We are told to see ourselves and others as pure spirit soul. What about that, eh? I look at my God brother, I look at the Mataji, I see everyone. To see them as effulgent, beautiful, shining, pure spirit soul. That's our advice. As a matter of fact, that's called Shastra Chakshus. Otherwise, we're seeing through illusory conceptions. The reality is that everyone is pure spirit soul. So we are told to see ourselves and others in that way. A person may feel depressed. A person may feel I'm not good enough. A person may feel so many things. That is going against the vision of the scripture. It's all not, it comes from the modes of nature. We are told, however, even the Madhyam Adhikari, the second class devotee, he exercises a quality of discrimination that I see you all as pure spirit soul, maybe one day, then I'm working on it. Then it doesn't mean I don't see where each of us can improve our situation with a desire not to point a finger, with a desire to be of benefit. Srila Prabhupada takes the position of a second class devotee. He told me personally, I have no business telling anybody anything. I'm nobody's master, but if I don't take this position, how can I teach? So the pure devotee, the Mahabhagavat, comes down. He only sees everyone as being a better servant than himself. That is a natural. He's not practicing that. That's his spontaneous feeling. Imagine that, to feel that everyone's more advanced than me when someone has ecstatic love for Krishna. Well, it's a symptom of ecstatic love for Krishna. So on the second class or the Madhyam platform, still there, even that's a very advanced platform. We can look forward to coming to that platform. Even on that platform, there's discrimination. So we see each other as pure spirit, but we still can see what is right, what is wrong, what is helpful, what is a hindrance, and point it out and try to help each other in so many ways. But, so we're being, we're being encouraged to come to the platform from which we can envision the inherent spiritual beauty of all beings, while at the same time seeing how much they are in the grip of illusion, you know, the man in the street, and how much their behavior is detrimental to their spiritual advancement. And we can help each other too. In brief, we see everyone as pure spirit soul, and we see their devotional disqualification. How can we help our God brothers and God sisters? So the discrimination is there. But negative attribution, Krishna Charan said, or Chaitanya Charan said, means that We no longer see them as pure spirit soul, but we identify others in terms of their devotional disqualification. We find fault. We see them like that and we relish it. That's the stool pit of my own heart. We see something is not perfect, and instead of saying, how can I help my beautiful God brother, God sister, we enjoy it. We go for it. Well, that's the nectar. That's called tamagun. That I'm trying to enjoy. It's miserable in the beginning, being hateful, being resentful, finding fault. It's miserable now, and it creates more misery. So this is part of what we were saying. Well, we have to clean up some. We have some cleanup to do. If we want, because if we don't, we're in offensive. We're in the category where we're in the demeanor that's offensive to the holy name, and we won't relish the process. So we have to come to grips with these things. We have to learn to monitor ourselves. I wasn't been now that I've got all my last 40 odd years. I was seeing what's wrong with everybody in ISKCON. I can write a book. I've written books. I've read books about what's wrong with everybody in ISKCON. I've read. There's so much stuff online. I know the whole logic. I know the whole thing. It's all nonsense. It's all tamagun. It's all for those who are taking pleasure. Of course, we're not perfect. We wouldn't be here if we were perfect. Except for the odd Mahabhagavata who walks the earth in order to pull us out of this. These kinds of negative perceptions are basically projections of negative qualities and feelings that we carry in our own hearts. If I see somebody doing something, I can't understand their heart. I can't understand their underlying qualities. I can only see what they're doing. But if I take the next step and I say, what a lazy person. What a selfish person. Etc. How many ways can I disqualify other bhaktas, other devotees? So these kind of negative, the taste, the flavor of what I see in them that I don't like, is a feeling that I'm having in my own heart. It's mine. It's a projection. Perception is projection. That's called, how do you want to put that in Krishna conscious terminology? It says that everything goes into the mind through the senses, and then we perceive what's in our mind in terms of the dust on the mirror of our own mind. We get a reflection of the reality, but it's not the reality because it's got the dust of my own heart on it. And so I see everyone and everything in terms of my dust. So you want it in Krishna conscious jargon? It's called the dust on the mirror of the mind. Because people say, where do you see that in the book, Prabhu? Well, that's where I see it in the book. We've got dust on our mind of all kinds, and that's a big part of it. So this happiness in the mode of ignorance, it is poison, both in the beginning and the end, Krishna says. And Srila Prabhupada refers to this negative attribution simply, he doesn't use a fancy word, he just says fault-finding. If we, you know how bad fault-finding can be, that it can remove a person like me from the association of devotees for decades. Because I'm relishing finding fault. Everyone's work, okay. So if we actually monitor our own minds, we'll probably be amazed at how many negative thoughts and feelings we have about others during the course of the day. Maybe this doesn't apply to you. I've noticed from the time I step into the temple, from the time I start seeing devotees, something goes through my mind. Too fat. Beard. Long hair. keeping all the maha for themselves when they go out of the deity room. Blah, blah, blah. It's just always going. It's always going. If you monitor and start to catch it, I can hardly spend a minute in the association of devotees without seeing something wrong with somebody. Now, I bought into it for so long. Now I'm beginning to say, oh, look at that. Look at that mind. If we actually monitor our minds, we'll be amazed. We have these feelings about others during the course of the day. How many judgments we make, even of devotees, which is one of the 10 offenses that prevent us from relishing the holy name. Yeah, imagine knowing we want to relish the holy name. I'm chanting my rounds. I'm attending the program. But I'm not tasting the nectar. I'm not in ecstasy yet. So I'm offensive to the holy name. Not you, me. So to save time, I won't describe all the ways in which I see how my mind is delightfully engaged in judging other devotees. That would take a class by itself. So I'll put that aside. The conclusion is that as long as we, I got 10 minutes, as long as we harbor negative feelings towards other devotees, we got to kill these demons. This is my demon. As long as we harbor negative feelings towards other devotees, our progress in Krishna consciousness will be arrested. So that leads us to the consideration of the subject, how we can actually make advancement. How can I do this in 3 minutes? In the Srimad Bhagavatam we were reading recently, 1st Canto, 7th chapter, verse 6, that it's not the strength of our sadhana that allows us to advance in Krishna consciousness. It's grace. It's grace. It's not our own effort. It's grace. So we have to get Krishna's grace. Also in the Bhagavad Gita, verse 9, chapter 2, Krishna, it says, the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna only accepts the love with which our service is offered to him. Imagine that. I can be a mechanical devotee. I can be on rote for decades. But Krishna is interested in the love. But it's very significant to note that Krishna wants not only that we love him, but that we love each other. He makes this cultivation of our love for each other a condition that we have to fulfill if we want to receive his grace. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na sojati na kankshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhakti labhate param. I give him devotion to me when he has this equanimity, this love towards all other beings. What to speak of devotees? He's saying like that. Equanimity of all. In that state, he attains pure devotional service to me. And the learned Brahmin sees everyone, even the dog, the dog eater, the elephant, etc. He sees them all the same. He sees their spiritual beauty. That's why he doesn't see them as different according to the body and the he sees this. That's the Brahmin. That's sattva gun. That's the way we have to cultivate by practice how to see each other. So, dadati. Nectar of instruction, dadati, number 4, dadati prati granati. There, imagine how devotees relate to each other. Srila Rupa Goswami says there's 6 symptoms of what? There's 6 symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. Imagine that we are with each other sharing love with each other. 6 symptoms. This is so we can make a little advancement. 6. And I looked at the purport last night and I underlined, I made a little pencil mark every place where it said love. There were more than 10 mentions of love in that purport. So, similarly, Lord Chaitanya says in Shikshastak that I can't taste the holy name. Even though you've made yourself so readily available to me and you're totally present in your name, I'm so unfortunate that I have no attraction for the name. So why does he say that? Does Lord Chaitanya have... No, he's talking about us. And then in the next shloka, he gives the solution. Trinadapi sunichena tororapi sahishnuna amanena manadena kirtaniya sadahari. That if we come to this level where we start to have the highest respect for others, we will become kirtaniya sadahari. We will be able to chant 24 hours and we will, because it gives us so much ecstasy. So this is very sobering, that I have a disease. And that's why I can't chase, I can't dance in ecstasy, because I'm in the stool pit and I won't get out, even though others are trying to pull me out. I'm thinking this is very sweet. So that's me, not you. So the conclusion, our ability to taste love for Krishna is directly proportional to our ability to love each other. Imagine that. Imagine that. That's a prerequisite. You don't love each other, you don't get it, Krishna said. All right, that's heavy. So fault finding is seeking happiness from the tamagun, from the mode of ignorance, and loving is enjoying happiness in the mode of goodness. Two different ways. One works and one doesn't. Bitter in the beginning, bitter in the end, and the other is happy in the beginning and happier in the end. But we have to learn to take a choice. We have to see what's serving us and what's not serving us. Well, that's not your problem, that's my problem, but I'm beginning to recognize that and I want to make a change in my heart. It's from the platform of sattva guna that we can begin to experience also a sense of loving reciprocation with Krishna. I notice, it may be very tiny, but as the more I drop my fault-finding and the more I learn to carry love in my heart, Krishna's not hiding from us. He's right there, he's ever-present, omnipresent. As soon as my heart is a little bit clean, I can feel that Krishna loves me. I can say that because I know that, because it's true. And I went for over 40 years wondering if I'll ever have a sense of reciprocation from Krishna. And as soon as I started to let go of this dirt, I could feel Krishna's presence. Maybe it's small, tiny, but it's enough to make me want more. Srila Prabhupada said to me, alone in his room, he imitated someone doing a hypodermic needle, doing drugs. He said, "You have seen this?" And I nodded because I had seen it. He said, "Krishna consciousness is like that. When we develop a little taste, we will want more, and then we're on our way. And we'll want to get all the garbage out of the way that's stopping us." So I'm talking about this because how long we want to stay on this platform. So therefore, we should relinquish our bitterness, our resents, our negative judgments, and cultivate the ability to carry this love in our hearts. The quality of love is the key to the gates of Vrindavan. This quality of love is in our hearts for each other and then for Krishna comes naturally, and that's the key to the gates of Vrindavan. We are practicing bhakti yoga. That's the bhakti, the yoga of love. This is the yoga of love. I didn't make that up. It is the yoga of love, so we have to be loving beings. We cannot be hateful, resentful, fault-finding towards each other and feel love for Krishna. It just will never happen. That heart cannot know. That heart that is relishing in the mode of tamagun cannot understand and taste Krishna's presence. So, kirtan is the last subject, and very quickly, because everyone has to eat breakfast and we have a program and we have things to do. We come to Krishna consciousness, we tend to be impersonal a little bit. Srila Prabhupada writes about that. We have good reasons. Life is so darn painful and interaction with others is so painful that we're attracted that let it all be zero, okay? And we tend to carry that over and be a little impersonal with each other. We do. I know that. So So what does that mean? Kirtan. Look at Lord Chaitanya on this altar, especially, he's majestic like this and Nityananda. But if you look at smaller Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, their heads are tilted, their feet are crossed, and they're dancing in ecstasy, and they're saying, come on, everybody, jump into the pool. Yeah, let's splash Krishna consciousness on each other. This is the spirit. Krishna consciousness in TLC, Srila Prabhupada writes, Krishna consciousness is different. It's not something that we do to get somewhere else, but it begins on the spiritual platform. It is ecstatic. It's not that when we become self-realized that we'll dance in ecstasy like the Panchatattva, but when we dance in ecstasy, we'll become self-realized, because that is what the soul does. So we're impersonal. We have a few people dancing, and we've a fault finder now, and I'll say that the rest are standing in their separate telephone booths having a conference call, chanting Hare Krishna, but nobody else can penetrate. They're standing alone. They can't have it. They can't have it. So we should... No, you don't have to. People say they can be in their own ecstasy. That's okay. But my suspicion and my understanding and my experience is that Lord Chaitanya is saying, come on, let's do it. Let's do it. And somebody's got a telephone call. Maybe it's in that class. So when there is love and trust, real kirtan is enacted on the platform of love and trust. When you love and trust, you don't have to stay so separate and cold. When there's love and trust, we can give up this posture of impersonalism in kirtan. It is then only that kirtan becomes a joyful process. Joyful, interactive kirtan is the remedy for our impersonalism, and this is recommended by Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, we see him on our altar with arms upraised, inviting all of us to jump into the pool and splash each other with love of Krishna. Krishna consciousness is a celebration. Krishna consciousness is a celebration. I don't come here because my spiritual master said I have to be here for Mangal Arti. I want to be in the karmis go out on Saturday night. They get down. That's what they say. Let's get down. Let's do it. They're capable of celebrating in the mode of ignorance, but why can't we celebrate? Well, this is a celebration, and we're invited by God himself to come and celebrate Krishna. So I shall come because it's a duty, and I stand in my own phone booth, but I have connection through a conference call. I can keep in touch with the leader. What is that? That is our impersonalism, our reservation because of fear. We have experienced that every so often we all get in and start jumping. We become joyful immediately. So that impersonalism with reservation and fear, and the judgments, etc., make separation. We've got to get past all that garbage and begin this process of Krishna consciousness from the bottom line. This is where it begins. Love each other and sing together and celebrate Krishna consciousness. And now, I'm on the button. You got 15 seconds for all your questions and comments. This is my... So I'm understanding this applies to myself. Okay, shoot. I'm trying to understand. I want to grow. Honestly.
We all have a mind, so we can all relate to some degree with what you're saying. And it's wonderful to witness your transformation, and we're happy to have you back in the fold. And thank hopefully, you. Hopefully we can all, you know, encourage each other.
I took a 40-year detour. It took me that long to figure this out. So I want to share it because I come back and I see, I interact with devotees and I hear the way they speak and I hear their complaints and I hear their resentment and I hear their problems like that. And I think, oh yeah, I know that game. I know that very well. But the difference is that even though it's still coming up in the heart, there says in Nectar of Devotion that they come up, like they germinate those seeds of feeling karmic emotions. They come to the surface. They come to the surface. The fan blades are still turning. Even though we pulled the plug, they keep coming up. So how to avoid that? No, you can't avoid it. It is going to come up. But the ability to see that, don't buy into this stuff. It's like bullfighting. The bull is coming towards you and you let it go by. Ole! The bull is in our mind. Bull. The bull is in our mind. And when it comes, not to take, buy into it. It's going to come. But if we buy into it, it creates more of the same. Plants more seeds for the future of the same kind. But if we let it pass, eventually the stalk will be exhausted and the fan blade will stop turning. We have to deal with that. We have to deal with that. So all these things are being said by our spiritual masters. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyone want to say anything? I'm very happy to be in the Association of Devotees. Please forgive me for my offensive nature. I'm really working on it. I really want to change and grow. And that's why I'm talking about this. And it's really nice. It's a great relief of carrying a heavy load and a burden. And it's, it makes me capable to Srila Prabhupada, please accept my blessing. You know, people come in the morning, touch Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. You know what it means when you touch a pure devotee's lotus feet? Means you give him our sinful reactions. I wouldn't dare touch his feet. That's me. When he initiates us, he says he's taken it all and then stay pure. He's taken it on himself already. We know how he left this world. He said, stay pure now. Now it's your job. I've done my part and I'm giving you the roadmap. Stay pure. Like in the Christianity Catholicism, they go every Srila Prabhupada, they go and confess, they get their sins taken off of them, and then they go and do some more. Srila Prabhupada said that's using the priest as a doormat. That we come and give Srila Prabhupada more sins. He's not there for our sins. He's not our dumpster. Well, that's my personal feeling. I want to touch Srila Prabhupada's feet. If you pass the prasadam table, wipe it. That's touching Srila Prabhupada's feet. If you see a service, do it. That's touching Srila Prabhupada. You want advancement in spiritual life? Try and serve his mission in any form you can. That's touching his lotus feet. That's my personal feeling on all of that. Of course, your hearts are in the right place, but I'm just pointing that out. That if we want to really get his mercy, then we have to understand this place, this is not, this is a preaching center. It's for spreading his mission, his movement to the whole world. And if we do any little thing within the context of keeping it all going in a nice way, we're helping him. We're helping him to spread Krishna consciousness, to make this place beautiful, to clean, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Clean. You notice something, don't be blind, bridle. If I notice it's meant for me to do something about it. Okay, Hare Krishna, Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.